You're tuned to 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. We have on the line now from San Diego, California, Lotus, DJ Lotus of Radioactive Radio San Diego. Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for calling in.
Sure.
So you have an update from the north of the border there in San Diego on some of the actions that have been happening in solidarity with Oaxaca. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So we're doing a plantón like they do in Oaxaca, you know, an encampment. We're doing a solidarity camp out in support of the people of Oaxaca. And we set up our encampment on Sunday night at 6 in front of the doors of the Mexican consulate. And have been maintaining it ever since. And today, for Dia de los Muertos, we're building an altar for the people that have died with the traditional elements of Dia de los Muertos altars, like sugar skulls and bread and photos and flowers. And it's going pretty good. It's been kind of on and off in terms of, like, how many people. You know, it's harder to get people out during the day, but last night we had a bunch of people from Oaxaca, like originally from Oaxaca, who live here now, from the Frente Indígena de Organizaciones Binacional, or like the front of the Binational Front of Indigenous Organizations. There were about 50 people then, and people have been camping there every night. It's usually about 4 to 8 people camping at night, and just dealing with sort of various levels of harassment from the Mexican consulate people and from the police. Last night, one person was detained and put in the car, but then released later. And the cops did that the first night, too. They detained 2 people and cuffed them and put them in the car. And then after about an hour or so and taking their personal information, they let them go. We figure they're just trying to, you know, diffuse the energy, scare people off, whatnot, but we're staying.
What are the demands?
The demands are, one, that the Mexican government pull the troops or the PFP, the federal police, out of Oaxaca, and two, that Ulises Ruiz step down as governor. I've actually seen a much better, more comprehensive list of demands, like the New York City Indy Media's response to Brad Will's death. Talks about how they want not only them to find the killers and investigate that, but to also investigate how Ulises Ruiz has used ununiformed police and paramilitaries throughout his rule as governor as forces of repression. But our 2 main demands are mostly to get the troops out of Oaxaca and that Ulises Ruiz step down. I mean, as we understand it, those are the main demands from the APO.
And has the media coverage been favorable? Have you been getting any local media coverage about these issues?
Been getting a lot of media coverage on Monday morning after they've heard we were camping out, you know, and after, of course, we called them and faxed them and all that. A number of TV stations came down, like maybe 4 or 5 of them, and the big local paper came down as well. And the Spanish news channels have been coming down and doing a lot of coverage. We're hoping they'll come down today. We're trying to, like, lure them with the altar and tell them it's a good visual or something. Yeah, we got a little coverage at first, and we're trying to keep that going.
Can you just talk a bit about, a little more about some of the repression you've been receiving from the local police in terms of the overnight encampment, and what are the laws in San Diego regarding, you know, staying up all night or sleeping out in public spaces?
Well, I believe that there's a local law against sleeping in public places, but I think earlier this year, the 9th, Circuit Court held up federally the right to sleep. So the police have not told us yet that we are not allowed to sleep. People are definitely sleeping in sleeping bags and tents in front of the consulate, and the police have not told us yet that we can't sleep. But they definitely have been a constant presence, where, you know, when they can, walking through the encampment, or sometimes they have, you know, 0 or 1 or 2 police officers, and then sometimes they have as many as 15 and have the whole street lined with cars. Last night when the person was detained, they definitely brought out like 12 people. They tried to divide the group, talk to different people in the group, and, you know, they try to enforce various laws, like telling us we have to keep the sidewalk clear or telling us we can't make too much noise, stuff like that. But we figure it's mostly just a matter of how much we can defend our space, and, you know, still make our voices heard. heard. We're definitely not, have no intention of, like, being quiet at 10 o'clock because of whatever the local law is. And, you know, we have a PA system. And with an encampment, there's lots of time to fill. So we've been doing various things to get attention and, you know, inform the local community. So we've, like, brought pots and pans out. We've done a little castellazo, beating their pots and pans for a while, and lots of chanting and on the PA system and people giving speeches and various things. I think tonight our plan is actually to show Brad Will's last video on the door of the Mexican complex, the big white garage door, and it seems good, appropriate thing to do.
This is a question I asked of Anto. We talked a bit about in the previous interview from Monday, but a question I'll pose again to you and get your thoughts on is this idea around Brad's death and how it has galvanized a lot of attention on Oaxaca that may otherwise not have been present, you know, before he was murdered. And I guess, like, that phenomenon of, you know, a white male activist gets killed on the front lines, but people die every day and it goes unnoticed. And I wonder what your thoughts are on some of those issues and that phenomenon.
I definitely think that it can be problematic, and I think it can be really problematic for us to sort of reproduce the same racism that the corporate media and that the system in general uses, that says that, you know, when white people die, it's important, and, you know, when people of color die, it's not important. And so, like, I know in some actions there's been an effort to, like, include Brad's name, and also Emilio, and I think Fabian is the other person, the three people that died together on Friday, to make sure that, you know, the names of those people that died are also remembered at the same time when Brad is mentioned. Although I think that, like, at least among a lot of the people that I've seen organizing around this issue are media activists who knew Brad or had some kind of personal contact with him. I mean, I met him, I knew him personally a little bit, and I think my phone number must have been actually in his phone, because on Friday afternoon, like, immediately, people were calling me from Oaxaca to tell me that he had been killed. So I can understand that there's a lot of people in the U.S. that have worked with Brad that have a personal connection to him and that happen to do a lot of organizing and have been kind of mobilized by it. So while I think it's problematic, I think there's also, you know, a certain degree of validity to people responding to Brad's death, and there's also, like, ways to take that energy and use it, you know, for better things. And also, I mean, it was like the day of Brad's death that really mobilized a lot of people, but I mean, it was just a few days before that the Mexican government was really moving police into Oaxaca. I mean, 10,000 troops being in Oaxaca is, like, one of the largest military operations in Latin American history in terms of repression. And so there really, you know, there really was something big happening Friday, and they really did move into the city on Saturday or Sunday. So there's definitely something to be pissed about.
Can you talk about your experiences and your friendship with Brad Will? What kind of person was he?
Unfortunately, I met Brad once and hung out with him a little bit in San Diego a few months ago. I believe he was on his way down to Mexico, and, you know, he stayed here in San Diego, but it's kind of a big spread out place. So he was staying at his sister's house, like, maybe in the like, adjacent city to San Diego, and we didn't hang out much, but we did, you know, meet and talk and share stories and share media, and you know, since then I definitely corresponded with him about what's going on with Mexico, because a lot of I work on a lot of Mexican solidarity issues, and actually a number of us have already had plans to go down to Oaxaca in December, and, you know, have been corresponding with him a little bit about what could be done down there.
Has this situation dampened those plans? Are you still going?
I mean, I still feel like December is a long way away in terms of, like, the situation developing in Oaxaca. I'm still really hoping to go, and I guess I'm thinking that by December there might even be in a state where, you know, they're looking for human rights observers to go down and document what's going on, and maybe be a little more calmed down.
Well, DJ Lotus, calling in from San Diego. Again, can you just recap for our listeners what's happening locally with the sit-ins, the encampment that's happening at the Mexican consulate there, and where it's going after today?
Sure. We're doing a solidarity camp out with the people, for the people of Oaxaca, to support the struggle of the teacher strike and to oppose the repression and massacre happening there. We've been camping out since Sunday night at 6 p.m. continuously in front of the doors there, making the people working there at the Mexican consulate, like the consul, know very strongly what our feelings are. And we plan to continue. We're building an altar today for those who died in the struggle in Oaxaca, and planning on showing some films tonight about the taking of the media in Oaxaca, and also film Brad Will's last film, projecting that on the outside of the building. And we plan for the encampment to continue. We're hoping to continue it until the troops are pulled out of Oaxaca and Ulises Ruiz steps down.
And we appreciate you calling in. Any final thoughts?
No, just thanks a lot for covering it. I mean, it's, you know, standing at the consulate, talking to the people in line from Mexico who are going into the consulate, or talking to, like, the passersby on the street, it always amazes me, like, how poorly educated our country is about the world and about, like, the political situation in the world. Like, so often the response that we get is, what's Oaxaca or where's Oaxaca? And much less people having any idea about massive teacher strike going on there for the past 5 months and the occupation of the city or the massacre by the Mexican government. So I'm glad that you're doing the work you're doing, and it's really important for us all to show support. It's all the same struggle against neoliberalism, colonialism.
And folks can check out sandiego.indymedia.org for any updates on the protest there in San Diego.
That's right.
Any other relevant websites for organizing the groups that you're involved with Mexico Solidarity Work?
Well, there's a really good website in Mexico City, which is the Centro de Medios Libres, or like the Free Media Center. And their website is vientos.info, vientos.info/CML for Centro de Medios Libres. That's mostly in Spanish, but they have had like up to the minute breaking news every single day since Friday. So at the very least, if you don't speak Spanish, you can go there and put it in, copy it to Beowulfish or some online translator and get news from there. Also, narconews.com is doing a lot of really good reporting, daily reporting in English. And New York City Indymedia, they also have been following the issue very closely.
Great. Well, we appreciate your call, DJ Lotus. And yeah, stay safe down there and keep up the struggle.
Thanks a lot. Take care of you, man.
Take care. Nice talking to you. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1, streaming live at www.freakradio.org. Thanks for listening.